Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Ecclesiastes, Book of Ecclesiastes. Turn there if you will. Got a real quick phone call. Don and Kim needed help unloading their things this week, and it wasn't the day we were expecting, but I gathered together a few men, and we went over there, a teenage boy or two, and we went there, and I was expecting a pickup truck. We were going to unload a pickup truck, and little did I know it was the biggest truck that U-Haul has, and it was full. I thought, man, that's kind of a dirty trick, isn't it? I think Greg was there. Bill was there. I don't remember who all was there, but we worked hard. We sweat. Dan was there. We took a little break, and so I thought, hey, it's a story. It's time to tell a story. And everybody knew I was telling the story just the way I started, except for Kim. And I was told afterwards she's about as gullible a lady as there is. And so it was a cat story. I said, you know, I was out working on my truck in front of the garage, and I took the carburetor off, and I was cleaning the carburetor, so I had a cake pan of gasoline there. And lo and behold, the neighbor's cat came and drank some of the gas. Now, I had Kim right now. She's a cat lover. You know, so I knew it, you know, and I had it right now. And I'm reading the eyes. The guys all, you know, some of them heard the story. Some of them knew it. They could tell by my demeanor I was telling the story. But Kim, she was all in. So I went with the story. I said, it took some drink of that gasoline, and it ran 3 laps around the house just as fast as a cat could possibly run, ran into the front yard, jumped up in the air, body went stiff, landed right on its back, all 4 little paws pointed right at the sky, and she sucked right into it and said, did he die? I said, no, he ran out of gas. Was she mad afterwards? The Book of Ecclesiastes. Let's go there. The Book of Ecclesiastes. Trust is going to be a blessing to you. I want to preach this morning on really why we're here. And it's really easy for us to all get a little bit distracted and misunderstand all that is going on. And Friday night, I went to the revival meeting. The Pastor Bill was preaching up in Paradise. And there was a couple there that just made me feel so important. It was Joel and Janine Hall. And after the preaching was done, they were sitting right behind me, and they said, Pastor Rader? I said, yeah, we were hoping you would be here tonight. We were hoping we could meet you, and that's why we came. They really poured it on thick, and I just started laughing. You know what? Because I'm a schmuck. I'm nobody big. I'm nobody important, and they made me feel so important. And I want to say this. We're all just a bunch of schmucks. That's all we are. We have no righteousness in which to gain any of the glory that God deserves. None of us, none whatsoever. They told me they've been listening to the radio broadcast for years, and now getting into live stream now, and then I'm teaching Sunday school right towards the end of the lesson, and who walks in the auditorium but Joel and Janine? They're sitting right back. Where you at, Joel? Right in the very back over here. We're glad that he's with us this morning. And you know, what a grand privilege it is to serve God. Hey, that cat running out of gas, if you don't get born again and you try to live your life in this world without Christ, you're going to run out of gas real soon. And if you're a Christian that's striving to live for God, but you're not surrendered to God, the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you're gonna run out of gas real, real soon. Life is about serving God. Life is about honoring God. Number one, getting saved. I guess this isn't my message, but it could be my message. Our life is about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Christ. We're to do our very best. And if you're not careful, even as a child of God, if you put your own party in and your own power and your prestige and your popularity, you put your own pleasure and possessions before the will of God in your life, you're going to run out of gas real, real soon. And before long, you're going to come to the end of your life and you're going to look around and your best friend is going to be your television set. And maybe you'll have a bottle of stale beer. And I'm telling you, that is not what life is all about. Before we read a word in Ecclesiastes, go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12, and stand with me, and I'm going to read a short parable here. Luke in chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That is not what life is about. He who dies with the most toys still dies and stands before God. And what good is it to have a bunch of toys and you can't share them with anybody, right? Verse 14, 15, 16 says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Lord Jesus, we pray that you just, the Holy Spirit, would take scripture this morning and drive it home in all of our lives on a personal basis. Mine as well. God, everybody watching live stream, everyone listening to radio, everyone here in the auditorium, take the word of God and may it be pointed and speak to our need and what we need to get right. And God, help us to respond and respond correctly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Life is not about things. It's not about riches. It's not about comfort. It's not about toys. If you are not careful, you'll waste your whole life climbing a mountain. And you'll get to the top of that mountain at the end of your life, and you'll realize there's nothing there. And all that's at the top of that mountain is a rock. That's all it is. And you wasted your life, and you wasted your moments accomplishing nothing for God. The mountaintop is not our destination. Heaven is our destination. The mountain is a journey that we're to live, that climbing that mountain is a journey we're to live in obedience to the word of God and in obedience and living for the things of God. That man is rich in God. It isn't the guy that has a full garage or two garages. It isn't the guy that has carpet wall to wall. It isn't the man that has the nicest house. It isn't the man that runs every weekend on hedonism and self-pleasures and doesn't honor the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, doesn't honor God. That's not the guy that wins. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist of the things that he owns. Go back to Ecclesiastes now, book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm praying and I'm trusting that God will take over in this message and we'll see a work of God done here in these next several moments. This book is an enigma. It is written by a backslidden preacher. His name is Solomon. This is a man, in his life, there was a time when he fell away from God and he tried the world. Wisest man that ever lived. And he came to some conclusions. Our whole purpose on this earth is to live for God. Not to gain holdings. Not to gain land and possessions. Not to just be comfortable and comfort our own body. That's not what it's about. It says in Ecclesiastes and chapter 1, if you would turn there, we'll look at that very first verse. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The word vanity, old English word, it means empty. Emptiness of emptiness. This sounds like a guy that's really at the bottom. Verse 3 says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What good is life if I spend all my time working overtime, if I'm a hard worker and I got a good work ethic and I do nothing for God? Verse 4, one generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So in other words, I'm not starting preaching yet, it's not my outline, but in other words, a Christless life is a fool's errand. It's flushing things down the toilet that God gives to us and opportunities, wasting, fritter them away, and they're here and they're gone. I want you to know this. One day your kids are going to be gone. It's going to happen fast. The worst thing you can do is give your children everything they want right now and not live a godly life in front of them, because they're going to replicate that times 10. Better to point them to Jesus. Better to put first things first. whatever it is in life. He's going to get into that. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. It is, man. It's the same way in sports, isn't it? So you want a state championship, big deal. 2 years from now, nobody's going to know about it. Nobody's going to care except you and your mama. That's it. And then your mama's going to go home to heaven, Lord willing, one day, and nobody's going to remember. And you made that your whole life. That's a shame. Verse 5 says, as the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose, and the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full under the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Again, life is, if you're spending your life wanting so much and desiring so much of what the world has to offer, I'm telling you, you're that guy that's climbing the mountain, and you're going to finally get to the top, and there's nothing there. We've seen that in sports, right? We've all seen that. Man, if I could just win that championship. Man, if I could just win that weight class. Man, if I could just be the best in this area. If I can just be the best in the state. And it happens. And everybody thinks the same thing when they get there. Is this all there is? This is it? Nobody even remembers me. It's gone. And don't waste your life climbing to a top of a mountain that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Instead, honor God. Okay, I'm at my message now. I've got before me 8 things, and then that's 1 point. And then I've got 2 more short points after that. And all 8 of these things are really quite small. I trust that you'll listen, you'll fasten your seatbelt, and you'll listen with everything you've got. So thus far, what I've read is the wisest man on earth, in a backslidden state, he experienced a whole lot of life. He said, listen, everybody that'll listen to me, you're the wise man for listening. You're the wise woman for listening. And by the way, he gets to the end of this book, the book of Ecclesiastes, and he says to all the young people, right now is the time to serve God, not later on. But he said, I learned that. I'm a man who honors God. I'm a man who loves God. And don't waste the years and the days that God has given you and the abilities and the talents that God has given you. Fritter them away doing nothing that isn't going to last, not one little bit. Don't do that. All right, let's go right away. Verse 13. 12 says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. He was curious. He wanted to be wise. He wanted knowledge. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit or conflict. I don't know, have you discovered that in life already? Are you old enough to figure out that life is one conflict after another? And it's all empty in and of itself. I love life. I love life because I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and he fills my plate every single day. Man, Wednesday morning, I got to lead 2 different delivery men to the Lord, and it was real. It was real. They actually were delivering an industrial sink out to the backside of the gymnasium out there. I said, oh, God, they already unloaded it here. I said, you guys would do me a big favor if you would haul that back to the backside of our gymnasium, the Heritage Building back. They said, no problem. They put it back in the truck, and they drove it all around. They unloaded it, and I started to witness to them, and I asked them if they had ever received Christ. And that's kind of a generic question. Oh, yeah. My dad my uncle is an apostolic preacher. I said, oh, that's good. That's good. Do you know if he died today, you'd go to heaven? Well, I don't know. I got to give them the gospel. They were both hungry for the truth. 2 young men in their mid-20s. I said, man, do you want to receive Christ right now? And they both, without hesitation, yes. One man from Gaylord, another man from Charlevoix. I said, let's get on our knees right now. And so we got on our knees there in the concession stand area. I dedicated the concession stand last Wednesday morning. They prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're going back out. We're coming through the Heritage Center, and the Maplewood volleyball, girls' volleyball team is practicing. I said, hey, girls, stop a minute. These 2 guys, this is Wesley and this is Trevor, and they just received Christ as their Savior. And a big cheer goes up, man, big grins on those guys' eyes, on their face, man, the happiness and the joy of the Lord in their eyes. That is what life is about. It's bringing sinners to the Savior. I love life. I love the opportunities of life. And I love life because I love Jesus. If you leave Jesus out of your life, it is vexation. It is one conflict after another. It is vanity. Solomon uses the phrase, or uses the word vanity 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Under the sun, he uses that phrase 27 times. That's what this book is about. It's about life. But if you live your life without God, you're hearing it from this little sinner preacher here this morning, and you're reading it in the Word of God, that is an empty, vain life. And if you live it long enough, pretty soon, it's just going to be you and your television set, or you and a bottle of stale beer, or you and some of that old crowd, it's going to be gone. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And you understand that. You've experienced that already. I know many of you have. Conflict after conflict. But if you love Jesus and you're living for Christ, those conflicts turn into victories. They're battles that are won for the glory of God. Let's go back again to the text. I wanted to seek out wisdom. Verse 15, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with my heart, my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceived that this also was vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Life without God is utter futility. Education is not the answer. Education is good. We all ought to better ourselves. You never stop going to school. But education without Christ is futility. It's vanity of vanities. You know, the rate of divorce and the rate of suicide among the most highly educated people in America is over the top compared to everybody else. You know what they found out? They found out education alone is not the answer. He says it again at the in Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, you know, the making of much books. But if it's without Christ, it's futile. It's empty. And it's full of conflict. Look at chapter 2 and verses 1 through 2. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also was vanity. That's the party life. And I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? You see, the bottle is an escape. That's what they think. Pills, an escape, not really. It's escape to chains. It's an escape to prison. I've never met a happy alcoholic. Never. Never. Don't point your kids that way. Man, don't you go that way yourself. I've never met a Christian that was sorry they were Christians, but I met a lot of sorry Christians along the way. You know, they're just not living for God. And they bring all kinds of emptiness and all kinds of conflict and heartache. Look at verse 3. I already preached it just a little bit, and I'm not going to belabor it, but I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun all the days of their life. And I want to emphasize, liquor and booze and wine and strong drink, it is not the answer. And I want to say it again. And my family pre-Christ was all a bunch of alcoholics. Liquor and strong drink, it'll do nothing but bring destruction to your home, to your household, to your loved ones. You'll go to funerals because of that drink. You say, oh, it hadn't happened yet. It will. Life isn't over yet. Man, don't go there. There is no peace in a bottle or in a pill. Or any kind of tobacco. It's just not there. You'll reach the bottom real quickly. Verse 4 says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Great accomplishments. Again, man's accomplishments without Christ, they're like sandcastles. They're there for one wave. And then they're gone. Doesn't last long. Sport is like that as well. The day will come when you'll grow slow or you'll outgrow your eligibility and nobody wants you anymore. You'll be one of those guys on the sideline that's got a big belly and no hair. you know, relive your glory days every time you go to a game, but every once in a while you'll find another old guy with a big belly and no hair, and he'll remember you, and both of you will just kind of cry on one another's shoulders. Man, they don't make them like they used to make them. That football isn't what it used to be. And that's when men were men, you know. That, yeah, and you're living in a dream world, fella. Verse 5 says, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds, lands and holdings and possessions, great accomplishments. All of it is nothing. Look at chapter 2 and verses 18 and 19. Skip ahead. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Man, you spend all your time building a house, building an estate, setting together a nest egg. You spend all that time and then you die. And you got none of it. You got to look at it for a while and dream about how great it's going to be. And you left it all behind. And even inheritances that you leave to your children in America, the average inheritance lasts 18 months. They spend it all because they didn't work to get it. And they don't really appreciate it. And Solomon's thinking about this. He said, life is empty. You know, it's like, this has got, there's got to be more to life than this. Go back again now to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And look at verse 8. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings. And boy, Solomon did. And of the provinces. And I gat me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. And I want you to know, riches will never, you'll never gain entrance to heaven by making more money. So you might as well quit making that your goal in life. The Bible says, look at 1 Peter in chapter 1. Turn over there real fast. 1 Peter and chapter 1. First chapter of the book of 1 Peter, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A big price was paid for your salvation. It was the very blood of the very Son of God, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus. You can put all the wealth of all of Michigan and all of the 50 United States and all of the Western Hemisphere and all of the Eastern and all of the world together, and you cannot gain entrance into heaven. So you can spend your whole life trying to make as much money as you can. You don't buy any of the grace of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm telling you that to say this, and Jesus said it, man, a man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. Don't spend your whole life climbing the mountain of getting money and getting things. You're wasting platforms and opportunities that God has given to you. It's important that you enjoy the trip and you serve God right now. One more thing he mentioned, verse 9, was music. And when I say music, I'm saying worthless entertainment, waster of life, teachers of bad philosophies, indoctrination of immorality, that music that does not honor God. Now, I know what it is. It's an escape. Every generation has experienced it. Some never grow out of it. Some never think deep. Some never read their Bible because they got to get things pumped in musically into their mind because it's easier that way, musically. And unfortunately, they're being indoctrinated with the doctrines of hell. And it's wrong. And Solomon says, man, it's all empty. It's all vexation of spirit. Look at verses 10 and 11. And I'm starting to start closing this off. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on the works that my hands had wrought. And on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Life without God is a fool's errand. I want to say that one more time for some young couples that are here. You might be thinking, if I can just make another $10,000 a year, and you make that your whole life, just another $10,000 a year. If I can just, then I'm going to be in happy land and everything is going to be fine. And that whole time of your life, it could be a big portion of your life, you spend going from here to there to get more things. You wasted that part of your life. Never to be relived again. Paul said, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Don't spend your life, waste your life climbing a mountain to get to the top, only to find out when it's too late, there's nothing there. The mountaintop is not our destination. For the child of God, heaven is our destination. We have a pilgrimage on this earth, not to gain wealth, not to get comfortable, not to build an estate, not to have a we four and no more. Because the problem is you lose your children in that process. And you'd trade anything to have your children in heaven. But you pointed them in the wrong direction. Life without God is a life of futility. Everybody is going to die. We don't have time to read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Turn over there. I want to read the last two verses in closing. But chapter 12, don't have time to read it. There's just not enough time. Everything, every one of us is going to die. You got to understand that. That's why he says in verses 1 and 2, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Don't think that religion is for old ladies and little children. Don't think that. Be a man of God, be a woman of God, whatever life you've got right now, from here on forth to the time of the trumpet or the time of eternity, whatever life you've got left, you determine in your heart, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to live it for God. I want you to know something. I'll just testify, and I'm not the epitome. Man, I failed God all too often. I've given God all kinds of reasons to forsake me, but he never has, and he never will. That's the mercy of God. But I want you to know this. I made a decision when I surrendered to preach. All I am is saved and surrendered. But when I surrendered to preach, I made that decision. And I forego a lot of things in the 40 years of preaching now. I have no regrets. Not one little bit. I never owned a jet ski, but I borrowed them. You know what? I was going to say I never owned a motorcycle. God even gave me that for a time, didn't he? You know, the fact is this. You serve God, he's going to take care of you. He will. But if you're stupid, I've insulted you, right? If you're an idiot, all right, and you're about that deep, that's all you are, you're going to spend all your time doing things yourself instead of serving God and letting him fill your plate. And he'll take care of you, man. A story just came to me I haven't shared in years. I hope I can remember it. I mean years and years and years and years. Little Johnny's going through the supermarket. I'm going to close with this. He's going through the supermarket and the grocer sees him. He's with his mom. Says, Johnny, grab a handful of cherries. He sees him looking at those cherries. Those cherries look awful good. Sweet cherries. Real good cherries. And Johnny played shy. And he just kind of took a half a step back and shook his head no. And the grocer said, no, Johnny, go ahead and grab yourself a big handful of cherries, as big as you can. He said, no, and he stepped back. And finally, the grocer reached down with his great big mitts and got two big handfuls of cherries and put it in. And Johnny took his shirt and held it like that and just filled it up with cherries. And he's walking, he's leaving the supermarket, and his mom says to him, Johnny, why didn't you take, Mr. Smith said to take those cherries, why didn't you reach in with your hand and grab a handful? And Johnny looked up at his mom and said, Mama, it's because Mr. Smith's hands are a whole lot bigger than my hands. God's hands are a whole lot bigger than your hands. Why don't you trust God? Man, why don't you just throw caution to the wind and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to use you? Saved and surrendered. You can have that same testimony. I'm a schmuck. I was humbled that the Halls wanted to meet me. Want my autograph, Steve? I give it to you this morning. You don't want it, see? I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. But you and I can surrender to God. God will use. Hey, God wants you to lead someone to Christ this week. I'll guarantee that. He wants you to win someone to Christ this week. Weak, and he's going to bring them into your lives. You've got to be ready.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.